Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget. Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable.
Good morning, Westeros. Welcome to the number one morning show in all of the Seven Kingdoms. It is The Toast. I am your co-host, Daemon Targaryen. Good morrow, brother.
Good morrow, brother. I am your co-host, Viserys the Peaceful.
What an honor to be sitting down with the king on my number one morning show, The Toast.
Of course, Daemon, making it himself. We built it together as brothers.
You were a little busy. I cannot do this accent. You were a little busy losing all your fingers to be building an empire like I am. Don't be jealous because I'm a mogul and you're simply a king.
You were a little busy murdering your wife, taking on a terrible whore, and engaging in incest to be running a business.
Brother, that's why you'll never be a truly great king. Incest is best. We all know that. We all really
do. And that's why you'll never be a truly great brother.
Fair point. Welcome, guys, to Toasterween 2022.
Ooh, spooky.
Spooky. Jackie and I are here, not as Jackson Claude. Jackson Claude actually been working so hard.
They took the day off.
They took the day off, and our good friends Daemon and Viserys Targaryen decided to join us today for Toasterween. If you watch House of the Dragon, then you know. And if you don't want to watch House of the Dragon, now would be a great time to start.
Now would be a great time to start. And if you've been listening to all our recaps this whole time, like, you know, I'm Viserys, the king, the peaceful. Like, not a great man, but not a bad one. And then we have Daemon, jury still out.
Troublemaker, widow's peak, lover of nieces.
Niecey lover.
That's appropriate, because one thing here at The Toast is, like, we really value aunts and uncles.
The Strice brethren are our dragons, and they are eating their wings.
Oh, shit.
They have resorted to eating their wings. They've been in their dragon costumes for, like, an hour now. Yeah, but first, everyone has to see the dragons of Westeros.
Oh, my God. Theo's literally chewing on his wing. He's got a clipped wing.
Here, you take Bryce. I'll take Bryce.
He's a wily dragon.
This is Sorax. And Anthrax.
This is Thorax and Bryceax.
Thorax and Bryceax. These wings are actually really cute costume ideas, but, like, the boys are hating them.
No, but it's, like, all hour they've been waiting for us to take them off, and now they know if they start chewing them, we'll have to take them off.
We did a photo shoot with them this morning, so, like, they've done their due diligence, and we can set them free.
Okay, we're setting free the dragons.
They're truly the wind beneath my wings.
There you go, Theo.
There you go, Bryce. Prosper. These are really cute, though.
Yeah, they're, like, pretty chic.
Theo's like, no, put him back on. I liked it. Theo, stop.
You'll eat it.
Oh, God. Theo clipped a wing.
You'll eat it and you'll like it.
So good morning, everyone. Hope everyone had an absolutely splendid Halloween weekend.
Seven blessings to us all.
Seven blessings throughout the Seven Kingdoms. I was slightly dreading this episode because for some reason, whenever I talk in a British accent, I immediately become Russian and Jamaican. And that's not the plan, you know?
No, it's not the plan. And whenever I talk in British accent, I immediately become brother.
You immediately become, like, very rowdy.
Where's Granja Harris?
Granja Harris.
Yeah, whenever I dress in opposite sex, like, all bets
something
are
takes
off.
Over.
Something takes over. It's like Ben being Ina.
Yeah, Ben dressed as Ina yesterday, Ina Garten, and he immediately started acting different.
Yeah, he looked so
funny.
I couldn't even look at him.
No, it was actually jarring to see him looking so feminine. Like, he actually, like, looked pretty.
But the pictures of the two of you together, you were Jeffrey, and it was just...
It was too much.
It was far too much.
It was too much for a kid's neighborhood Halloween party.
No, I agree.
Especially, we showed up to the Halloween party in Jackie's neighborhood, and, like, we thought, you know, all the adults would be dressed.
It's a Halloween party.
Right, it's a costume party, right. And literally none of the adults were dressed. Now I know it's
just
hard to
kids.
It's hard to get out the door with all your kids in costumes. Like I have, you know, understanding for the moms and the dads, but like, come on, it's Halloween.
Yeah.
So we just like felt really stupid walking around in my crazy Albert Einstein wig.
Yeah, walking around like in my huge Priscilla wig and heels.
Yeah, no, we were like the big adult dopes.
Yeah, but at least we have each other, you know?
Right. At least we had fun.
Always.
Not as fun as Toastoween 2022.
Ooh, spooky. We filmed some
sickening content for our Instagram already, so that's why I'm personally out of breath.
Yeah, and why we've already given it all to being the Viserys and Daemon.
So what does it mean to you to be king, brother?
Thank you for asking.
You're welcome.
I think like most great kings, or good, you know, decent kings, it's not something that I ever really wanted too badly.
Right.
But now that the responsibility has been bestowed upon me, I take it with the utmost seriousness.
Now, of course, honestly, I cannot believe that my podcast landed an interview with the king after so much fanfare. Why don't you tell us exclusively who you meant your final message for?
Yeah, no, I didn't stutter. I meant for Rhaenyra. Mm. Obviously, Alicent heard what you wanted to hear.
Yeah.
Like, literally, I'm not well. Why are you listening to me? I'm making no sense.
Right.
And you're going to wage war over the nonsense I just spewed?
And brother, honestly, you should have taken a page out of my book and just killed her.
Shoulda, woulda, coulda.
Shoulda, woulda, coulda.
But she's a nice girl, you know? She just is mixed up with the wrong crowd.
The wrong seven.
The wrong fam.
The wrong fam. I'm going to try and do it British accent as much as I can, but honestly, it's extremely difficult.
It is. I need to... She's mixed up with the wrong fam.
That was really good. It is Toastoween, but of course, we've got a fabulous show for you guys today. Fast Five Stories, lots to discuss. You might be confused because you're probably like, Claudia, you're dressed as Daemon Targaryen. You look like Ava Max.
The good news is...
And here's why.
The good news is we are recording a vlog.
Yes.
Of Halloween weekend at my house, like getting dressed for yesterday, getting dressed for Toastoween. It's honestly so funny. And I did give Claudia a live haircut on the vlog. So you'll see it all.
And you gave it really like 0% of your attention.
I didn't realize how much attention it required. And for that, I apologize.
She just went at it on one half with the scissors. And now I'm Ava Max.
I was pop just star. Like, it's not real hair.
I'm
you
the
know?
Biggest pop star in Westeros. Like, I mean.
Well, that ain't that the truth.
Oh, she's sweet, but a psycho, a little bit psycho. I understand the Ava Max look. Like, I'm kind of feeling it. Not for this costume, but just like in general.
No, I've understood it for a while because it's like every pop star has done something. You know, yeah. We have two-toned hair. We have a meat dress. Like, how are you going to stand apart?
How are you going to top that?
I'll have two different length hairs.
No, and it's like, depending on what angle I take a picture from, either I have like a cute mid haircut or a full-on bob. A choppy bob, but
that's, and probably Ava loves the
duality
of both.
I would imagine, brother. I honestly would.
Get you a girl who can do both.
So how was your weekend?
My weekend was great. It was the same as your weekend. Mm-hmm. We had a great weekend full of Halloween. We didn't make our special cookies and we're running out of time.
I know. We are headed back. Actually, Jackie's coming to New York with me when I return this week. So the last couple of episodes this week will be in New York studio with Jax.
Which is so exciting.
So exciting.
And in less than a week is my 30th birthday.
I didn't want to bring it up. Like, I don't know if you like.
I'm embracing it.
You're embracing it.
Yeah, I'm excited. It's another like. It's,
I mean, your hair is turning gray already.
It doesn't have like birthdays. Like, who said they have to get sad as you get older? Like, it's still a day about you, and especially as you get older, less days are about you.
That's true. Especially when you have kids.
I look forward to seeing like how everyone plans to celebrate me.
No, and you still get presents and
like when you're
the people in your life are older, more financially like secure, they can buy you better presents.
They get better. And also, like, I love to get myself a present,
right?
So that's exciting too,
right?
And I'm working on that.
You're working on that.
Yeah, I haven't secured what I wanted, but I do want.
Do you have an idea of what you want?
Yeah, I want a new crown. I think this one's a little rusty.
Yeah.
How musty. About,
maybe you need a new throne. I can sit on the one you're currently sitting on.
I'm
brother.
Sure you would love that, Daemon, but let's be real. Like, you're an amazing brother. Mm-hmm. You're too good of an uncle.
100%.
Rhaenyra loves you too much.
That Rhaenyra.
And
she's a good girl.
You know, you're a good time. Like, I would love to hit the clubs with you. I would love to hit the brothels. And I mean this in all sincerity, as your brother, who is, I think everyone can say, like, Viserys is a logical king.
Yeah.
Literally.
I don't know if everyone would say that.
You would not make a good king. You would not. You have a tendency towards the extremes. You would let the power go to your head. You would. And I think your strengths lie in other pursuits, bruv.
Bruv, we've literally discussed this in family counseling so many times, and I don't personally appreciate you coming on my podcast that I have built from the ground up
with
after
my,
I was
with
after
my
I was,
name
after I was cancelled in 25 BC. I think it's really disgusting of you to come on here, insult me on my show, and honestly, I think it's best if you just leave.
Listen, bruv, let's get real once again. You're riding my coattails. Nobody would care about your podcast if your bruv wasn't the king.
Oh, please. Do you see this hairline? Do you know what women in Westeros would do to be Mrs. Daemon Targaryen?
They would kill. They would die.
They would kill to be my lady, to lay in my bed.
They would die to be your
lady. Do you know what women would do? They would sooner die than lay in your bed and change your bedpans, you old hag.
At least I have women changing my bedpans, Daemon. Talk to me when you're old and gray.
You know what I have?
Already gray.
You know what I have? Your daughter changing my bedpans.
Let's not get nasty. Let's not get nasty.
Says the king. Says the king with no fingers.
Let's not get nasty. Don't bring the daughter into this. Let's talk about the husband.
You don't want to go there, you beast. So yeah, like
beast in Westeros is actually like a flattering term. Like we have these beastly dragons.
No, I mean, I guess it depends who you are. If you're like a woman living in Westeros, I don't think you want to be called a beast.
No, but are we women in Westeros? No.
Oh, right, right. I forgot.
The king and the spare. You should quit the royal family and write a book. Write a book. Spare.
Oh my God. Does that make Meghan Rhaenyra?
No, it's not totally analogous.
No, it's not. But maybe I will write
a
book.
Daemon does give Harry energy because it's that spare energy
where it's like constantly being overlooked. It's a lifetime of being overlooked.
Yeah. But Daemon, I think he's really successful in other pursuits. Like what you did in the Sandstones.
So true.
You popped off, Daemon. You should be so proud.
I am. I honestly am. And I have a beautiful, beautiful, sexy wife whom, you know, has. Oh. I have a beautiful.
Yeah, he heard what you said about
I have a beautiful wife, really stunning wife. She bears my children. She lays with me. I'm so blessed to have such a wonderful, gorgeous, sexy niece/wife.
Listen, bruv, I've never been anything but kind to you.
So understanding. You didn't tell me about the Song of Ice and Fire. You did not tell me about the Song of Ice and Fire.
You're not the heir, you're the spare.
I was the heir.
Sparey
for
vibes.
30 years. That mean nothing to you?
Sparey vibes only.
I was the spare, and I heard nothing about the Song of Ice and Fire. Nothing.
Jealous?
Are we? Yes.
Yeah, we have this like little secret, us in line. It's a song that we all sing.
Sing it, bruv.
It's the Song of Ice and Fire.
I literally knew you were going to do that tune.
It's the story of the prince. He was the prince who was promised, and there's gonna be a war. We're fighting in the north because this is a song of ice and fire.
Ice and fire.
It's a song fit for a prince.
Fit for a prince.
But nobody knows who the prince will be because Allison is a dumb hoe. And
yes, she is a big dumb hoe.
And I was lying on death row. This is the song that never ends.
Pop off!
Get Otto out of my bed chambers. This is the song the prince will sing when song is ice and fire.
Ho.
We're fighting with the north and there will be a great pyre. This is a song.
I personally love when there's a great pyre.
The thing about the king is like everyone just sees king, of course. But I have so many other things that I want to pursue.
Acting?
So acting, singing. Like I love to draw. I like to make my little sandcastle in my room.
Yeah, you love a good Lego.
I love Legos. And people just see king, king, king. What can we get from king? But what about what king wants? What about what king feels?
Brother, nobody cares. It's
but
not
I'm
about you.
Person two,
you're
bruv.
Not. You're not. You're just a king. You're just a king.
I'm just a king.
And life is a nightmare. British people like must be watching this like vomiting.
No, I don't. I think they feel really good about it.
Our accents?
Yeah, because these aren't British accents. They're Westeros. And where the fuck is that?
Wait, that's what me and Ben were talking about last night. Because before I fell asleep, I was like, you know, going on about how I was nervous about my British accent. He's like, well, it's not even British. Because this right now is not a terrible British accent. And I don't sound like anyone from House of the Dragon.
Yeah, no, Westeros, they never tell us like where it is in real life. But like, if you think about history, like it's somewhere in Europe. So
yeah.
We're not offending anyone in particular.
No. I mean, I was going to try and be the whore, but I couldn't master her accent.
Neither could she. Neither could she.
So should we dive in? We've got a great show, lots to discuss.
We do. A lot of Halloween news from celebs this weekend. I want to talk about their costumes, and I have something to say about celebrity Halloween costumes. So
like, we really don't care?
Not even that. Maybe it's like a cell phone to say this, but like, I have no idea who these people are, who they're dressing up as.
Who they're dressing up as.
Yeah, like all these Kylie costumes. Like,
no, it's like we've gone to a place in Halloween where people are just finding really, really niche pop culture references, whether it's like from movies, music, and like just recreating the exact photo.
Right. Well, the thing about like the photo, it's like, did you even go anywhere? Did you do anything in that costume? How did you move around in
they
it?
They didn't.
But also like, I'm just going to be honest and say like, I don't know what a lot of these things, movies, characters are.
No, like Hailey Bieber looked so stunning. She had this whole photo shoot. She was wearing a dress made out of flowers. And like the costume, she said in her caption, it was like inspired by like, you know, vintage YSL. That's not a costume.
Wear that to the Met Gala.
Right.
But no, that's not even, like, I'm really talking, like Kylie's first costume where she's like,
Bride of Frankenstein.
That's what that is?
I believe.
See, I don't know. And then the second costume, Elvira, I think was. What's that?
I don't know.
I have no fucking clue. Maybe because I don't watch Halloween horror movies. Mm-hmm. But I think of this all the time. Like, unless you're being something so obvious, if you're a niche character, I'm like, I have no idea what you are.
No, but then like the obvious ones, everyone does them. It's actually really, really hard, whether you're a celebrity or a layperson, to like do a really good original costume these days.
Yeah.
Because like they've all been thought of.
Yeah, but it's like, why are we putting this pressure on ourselves? Like,
no.
Go get a spare at Halloween, put it on and go have fun.
I do feel like this year was like tame in comparison to previous years where people like were just going so insane photo shoot like four nights in a row.
Yeah.
I feel like there was one night this year, it was Saturday night because Halloween's on a Monday. And for the most part, like people were doing one, maybe two costumes. But like there was a while where people were spending like so much time, energy, money on like these elaborate costumes photo shoots just to like do it in their house.
Yeah. For some Instagram likes.
Yeah, but I don't like look forward to people's costumes in the way that I look forward to like people's outfits at the Met Gala or like certain things every year. Halloween is not one of those things. It just feels like a lot of times when you take some perspective, you take a step back, big bang, you're like, oh, everyone looks like a clown.
Beyond. I mean, look at us. We look amazing.
We look. It's also important to mention like this conversation does not pertain to us, brother.
Not at all whatsoever.
Not,
like,
not at all.
Got our costumes from Spirit. Well, not these ones, but like yesterday, we were like normal Halloween people. Got your costume from Spirit, like worked with what you had in the house.
Yeah, I think like...
I wore a wig that I got on Amazon. I wore a dress of my own.
Yeah.
And it was Halloween. I did my own makeup. I don't have to have a makeup artist.
I don't know if that's us getting older or Halloween just like changing.
I don't think Halloween's changed. I think it's people and the culture, especially with Instagram and TikTok, because now you need the TikTok video of you saying what the character said. Mm-hmm. And if you didn't take it, then why did you dress up in the first
place? Oh, I have
place?
A good TikTok for us to make afterwards.
What are we going
to
say?
There's a scene from an interview with Allison and Rhaenyra that's gone viral. What's your drink of choice? A Negroni.
Ooh.
Spagliato.
Oh, that's an interview with them?
With Prosecco in it.
I know the sound.
It's Allison and it's grown up Allison and grown up Rhaenyra. When they like wanted us to learn more about the girlies who are playing the new older characters, they did like these series of interviews and that little clip went viral. So we'll do it.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Sweet. So now without further ado.
Yeah.
The Strikes Brothers are here. They've been the most amazing dragons
Amazing.
Like Dracarys on these hoes.
Dracarys, motherfucker.
It is time for the Fast Five Stories that you need to know.
Today's episode is sponsored by Honey, the easy way to save when shopping on your iPhone or computer. Thanks to Honey, manually searching for coupon codes is a thing of the past. Honey is the free shopping tool that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one it finds to your cart. Here's how it works. Imagine you're shopping on one of your favorite websites. When you check out, the Honey button will appear and all you have to do is click Apply Coupons. Wait a few seconds as Honey searches for coupons it can find for that website. And if Honey finds a working coupon, you'll watch the price drop. So we've used Honey for years. I got my sword on Honey. I've got my bedpans on Honey. I've got your crown, obviously came from Honey.
Of course.
I've saved money, honestly, on like makeup, electronics, food, pretty much everything. Most of the places I online shop at work with Honey, and it's really nice because you don't have to do anything. You just like this little, you'll forget you downloaded the browser extension and this little man will pop up, be like, hey girly, it's like a little gold coin. Want to save some money? And the gold coin has legs. And
we
like
love
kicking.
Gold coins in Westeros.
We love the Lannister always pays his debts. So you just click it, boom, you like revolve. Most of the places I shop work with it and it really is fabulous. And now, something new I just found out is that it doesn't just work on your desktop anymore. It also works on your iPhone. You just have to activate it on Safari on your phone and you'll be saving on the go. So if you don't already have Honey, then you are straight up missing out. By getting it, you're doing yourself a solid. We'd never recommend something we don't use. We've been using Honey for years. The Toasters actually told us about it long before Honey was a sponsor. You can get Honey for free when you go to joinhoney.com/toast. That's joinhoney, joinhoney.com/toast. joinhoney.com/, you guessed it, toast, TOAST. Today's episode is also sponsored by Legacy Box. The world is getting crazy. Stakes are always getting higher. Big days are ahead, but wouldn't it be nice to go back to the good old days? Well, Legacy Box is the simplest and safest way to digitize all of your aging videotapes, camcorder tapes, film reels, and pictures so they are preserved forever. So I have to say, of all the sponsors on the show, I get the most DMs about Legacy Box. Like when we haven't done a read for them in like a couple of days, people are always like, what was that name of that company? What was the code? Legacy Box is the best way to take, we grew up in the VHS era, but whatever old like home videos you have sitting in a basement, they digitize it all for you. They do it really safely, really securely, and in a timely fashion. And it is such a good gift to get for someone, especially with the holidays coming up, first of all, because you're clearing them of all this storage. Like you're gonna give them their basement back because all these boxes of tapes are gonna be gone. And you're giving them memories back, which is so special. We did it a few years ago because we were like had boxes and boxes of VHSs in our house. And it is such a delightful experience. Because we used to spend like hundreds of dollars on these like VHS reader things and it never worked. So we were able to get back some iconic home videos of us singing the Spice Girls. Obviously, you know, one of us really kind of stuck out as a star with like a potentially really good singing voice.
Thank you. That's really sweet. It was me and I was really incredible.
So Legacy Box is really easy. They do it all for you. So they personally digitize it in the US. If you have it, they can digitize it. Everything from VHS tapes to photos to Super 8 film reels. Each kit includes everything that you need to safely pack and send your recorded moments. So once you use our code, they'll send you all the packaging materials. You put it in the box, they give you the label, and they really do it all for you. It truly couldn't be easier. Digitize your memories with Legacy Box. Grab some popcorn, gather the family to revisit the good old days. Plus, for a limited time, they're offering a special sale. Legacy Box is offering our listeners an exclusive offer when you go to legacybox.com/toast to shop this incredible deal. That's legacybox.com/toast. It is a special election sale. Big days coming up. Let's revert to the past with legacybox.com/toast. legacybox.com/toast.
Our first story, the best Halloween costumes of celebrities of 2022 so far. According to Page Six, I'm curious to know what you thought was the best costume.
Okay.
First, we have Lizzo as Marge Simpson.
I thought it was okay.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. I thought her other costume, she's very like on the pulse of pop culture. I wanna kill my mom. This kid who went viral on TikTok for like saying something crazy. She dressed up as him in another costume. I thought that one was better.
Yeah, like did she go to a party dressed as Marge Simpson?
I don't know, but like the yellow paint like was giving me anxiety. Like, yeah. Like if you get in an Uber, you're
finished.
$250 fine, easily.
Lily Reinhart, Madeline Petch, and Cami Mendez as the Sanderson sisters from Hocus Pocus. This was great idea, great execution.
Great execution. I think the Sanderson sisters has become like kind of like a corny like Halloween costume that everyone does.
But it's back again because it's the sequel.
It's back. And if you're going to do it at this level of like glam costume makeup, and one of them is truly a redhead, one is truly a brunette, and one is truly a blonde, it was very well executed.
Love it.
Love it.
One of my favorites, actually.
It was really well done. And they made great content. Because they could also go to a
party like this.
Yes. They made also like amazing TikToks and stuff. It was good.
Oh, I didn't even see those and I still liked it. Next, Diddy as the Joker. He was in like all of Kim's stories. Where did they go? She went to Tracy Ellis Ross's birthday party.
Oh.
And she didn't know it was not a costume party. And she showed up in her blue X-Men outfit as Mystique from X-Men.
I thought she was Avatar, so.
That's what I mean. I thought she was Avatar too. Like, and then she posted with Natalie and Olivia and I'm like, oh, so you were Avatar and then they were something else.
Yeah.
And they all had names and I was like, and I don't know who any of them are. And that's on me. This is a self-own. Like, I don't know Marvel characters. I don't know horror characters, Bride of Frankenstein. And I just don't imagine I'm the only person out there.
Yeah, no, like, especially when it comes to like comic book stuff, like we're really kind of out of the loop because we don't watch any of those movies. We don't know anything about Marvel, DC. So if you're going to dress first as someone from that, I have no idea who you are.
Also, dress as whatever you want. Just like, could you write it in the caption or like give a reference to it?
100%.
You know?
Normalize putting what you are in the caption.
Like in some way.
100%.
That I think is important.
100%.
Then we have Olivia Rodrigo as Betty Boop.
Cute. Like, really, I don't know anyone who's done that. Like, that's cute.
Yeah, it is a cute idea.
I don't know if the execution was my favorite.
That's what I would say. I wouldn't have ever guessed she was Betty Boop, and I know Betty Boop.
Right. I went to school with Betty Boop.
Betty Boop and I are close personal friends.
Right.
Then we have Kylie as the Bride of Frankenstein. She looks amazing.
Yeah.
And now I'm glad to know what she was. But did you know it immediately?
No.
Okay.
I never even saw Frankenstein. Like, I'm not into...
It's from
movies.
1935, the movie.
No, but like I would know Frankenstein even though I've never seen the movie.
True.
So.
True. She needed a Frankenstein companion.
Travis.
Travis. Then we have Kendall Jenner as sexy Jessie from Toy Story.
This was like so basic. I was shocked. Like, I kind of love that she gave it obviously like no effort because it's like cool girls like don't care. But like, wow, this was really like generic.
Okay. I feel like I think she looks amazing.
She looks amazing.
And I kind of like that it's just like a normal costume. Right. And she clearly like could go to a party and she's like, I'm just going to be like a kid's
slutty Toy Story.
Kid's costume with assless chaps.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, you know, she looked amazing. I loved the no energy.
Yeah. No, there was energy put towards those assless chaps.
No, I know. But like when you look at like how long it probably took her to get ready versus Kim.
Yeah. No, but I'm sure it still probably took a long time to get ready. Like
with glam and everything.
Yeah. She's giving Margot as Princess Anna.
She looks great.
Yeah. Megan Fox and MGK were Pamela Anderson and Tommy Lee.
So the Pam Anderson costume was like this year's like basic bitch. She looks like every other bitch. Like every girl who's like skinny and has big boobs did Pamela Anderson. Like it was, if you executed it well, it was cute. But like most people just put on like a corset and blonde wig and like walked out of the house. If anyone can do it, it's MGK and Megan Fox, and they did it really well. But just like what I wouldn't have expected, I couldn't have guessed that like this was going to be like the basic costume that everyone went with. So like them choosing that makes it like a little less cool and original, but they were the best ones to do it.
Yes, best executed.
Yeah.
I think it's a great costume and it's topical, timely. Yes,
that's why I think it like everyone popped off.
Yeah, it's all of the things that.
But then it makes you think Kim was Pam Anderson like 3 years ago with Jonathan, I think.
Ahead of her time.
Yeah, ahead of her time.
Hailey Bieber as a model from the Yves Saint Laurent Haute Couture Spring 1999 show.
It's not a costume.
If you didn't know that when you saw it, like you don't know fashion.
This is not a costume. But I love Hailey Bieber, but it's just simply not a costume.
Yeah.
It's an outfit inspired by fashion, which is genuinely what every outfit is.
And so when you're a celebrity and you decide what you want to be for Halloween, do you have to decide it in July so that you can have like a custom dressmaker like make this
maybe
for
not
you?
July, well, depending on what it is, but I think like you need a couple of weeks.
Like Kendall wants to be Toy Story, so she needs that shirt made, like someone like that shirt.
Yeah.
I don't think they don't sell that at Spirit Halloween. No. It's very Jessie. They also don't sell it at
no, it's custom Bergdorf's. But I don't think July, like I think you need a couple of weeks to make a shirt like that.
And Haley, how
maybe a bit more time, which is crazy because it's not a costume. I mean, I'll just stand by like dressing as a model from a fashion, like that's not a costume.
Yeah, no.
And simply.
And I just want proof that people went somewhere in these costumes. That's what I'm asking for now, too. I just want a reference in the caption and that you went somewhere.
Well, because the big...
Otherwise, like, it's just a waste of time, money, and resources.
The big Halloween party in LA is a Casamigos party every year. And I saw a bunch of people there, but I didn't see any of the people we discussed in this article at that party.
Yeah. Kim went out, though. That was good to see.
But did she dress to a costume party.
Right. But I think she went to a costume party after because... Diddy was there.
Got it.
Did she dress as anything else yet this year?
I just want to say, like, having a birthday party on Halloween that's not costume is, like, extremely... Just, it's annoying for other people. You know, actually, not to, like, be, like a name dropper, but if you read my book, you know, like, on Halloween a few years ago, I went to Seth MacFarlane's birthday party, and it wasn't a costume party. So there was, like, one or two people there in costumes that felt so stupid, and it's, like, I kept my costume in the car. But, like, it is annoying and inconsiderate.
Yeah.
Because we're not staying at your party the whole time. Like, we're going to party hop. And so we have to get in and out of our costumes because you don't want it to be a costume party. Make your birthday another weekend.
Right. And like for you, it was just like Pink Lady. Like for Kim, it was a whole thing.
Right. It wasn't
Can't
even
just
elaborate.
Leave that in the car.
No, it wasn't even an elaborate thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Next, we have North Saint, Chicago, and Psalm West as Elias, Snoop Dogg, Sade, and Eazy-E.
I think it's Aaliyah.
Yeah, I think I
botched it. Mm-hmm. Cute.
Really cute.
Kids be killing it. Like that's a costume. Mm-hmm. Haley, take note.
Next, we have Brooklyn Beckham and Nicola Peltz as Romeo and Juliet, doing the absolute least.
No, it's cute. Look,
she's doing nothing.
Oh.
It's a
that's
cute
not a costume.
He wore knight's shoulders.
Sorry. I didn't see that. That's not a costume. They're not wearing actually any clothing. That's costume.
She's not wearing a costume. Like, that's like when you show up in whatever you're meant to wear. And then, like, let's say we're Romeo and Juliet, you know?
Right.
Unless it was a famous couple throughout history party, like, what is it?
Well, then that does change everything. Was it a famous couple throughout history party?
Like, nothing about this, to me, is that she's Juliet.
No. I mean, she does kind of look like Claire Danes in that movie where she plays Juliet, but still, like, no.
Coincidence,
yeah.
Next, Ashley Graham as a Y2K angel. That's, like, one of those costumes when people,
that's
like,
not a costume.
Just, like, make some shit up.
No, like, I have a lot of Y2K things in my closet. Like, maybe I'll be, like, a Y2K Angel.
No, I have a Y2K into my class and a pair of angel wings.
Right. Yeah. Not a costume. Yeah, not a costume.
People like always do like stuff like that. Like there'll be like a fairy who likes dubstep.
Right. The dubstep fairy. It's so stupid. Like, it's so dumb.
She looks great, though. But why couldn't she just be Y2K girly?
Right.
Y2K.
Right. Y2K.
Literally.
Literally.
This next costume might be my favorite.
Okay.
JoJo Siwa as Draco Malfoy.
So she had, like, cut and bleached her hair a few days ago and was making TikToks as Draco. So I didn't think that she would be Draco Malfoy because she had, like, kind of spoiled it on TikTok. But she was, and it was excellent. Like, actually, a costume where you... like do a double take thinking that the person actually is the person they're dressed up as, is a successful costume. And she looks great, great, great. And she made amazing TikToks.
Yeah. Vanessa Hudgens as Black Swan.
Vanessa Hudgens like does always kill. She's like one of those girls who like does the party circuits and like always looks good. This is like fine.
Yeah, that's a great, it's a totally.
Fine costume.
Fine costume. Like, and I don't need every costume to break the internet.
To blow me away.
Yeah, except she was the one who did, A Star is Born.
No, that was Nina Dobrev, and that was like one of the most embarrassing moments on the planet when she was dressed up as a baby who was also a star because the star was being born. I actually saw a picture
of like campaigning for an Oscar.
I saw a picture of that recently, and it was like reminded me of how embarrassing that was to be a human being alive during that time. It was horrifying. Really, truly ghastly. Positively ghastly.
Next, Sarah Michelle Gellar's tribute to Do Revenge, which is the movie that she was in.
Oh.
She said that she told the director she was jealous she never got to wear the costumes designed for the Rose Hill uniform. And so she got one for her Halloween costume.
That's like really cute, even though the movie was hella problematic, but cute.
Yeah, cute. I'm surprised more people weren't that.
It wasn't like that culty of a following. Like it was just like a movie people liked for a minute.
But that's the thing about like Netflix movies. Like, will anything be super culty when it's just
an assembly line
of flash in the pan?
Yeah, no, it's actually like Netflix has like shifted the way in which we like care about shit.
Yeah.
Because we care about it for 45 seconds.
Yeah. I feel like only TV shows really can be culty now.
Yeah, that's a good point.
They keep coming back.
Right.
And it used to be like to be in a movie was like to be in a real movie. Yep. And to be in TV was kind of looked down upon.
Yep.
Speaking of being in TV, Matthew Perry. Mm. Joined Diane Sawyer for an interview, and he shared signs to look for to indicate that he's relapsed.
So I watched his Diane Sawyer thing last night. It was so heartbreaking. Like, first of all, and he's mentioning it all. Like, nothing is off limits.
This is clear.
Because he visibly looks different. He talks different. He's like the way he's aging is all because of his addiction. His teeth, like, don't, like, they're really, he has huge veneers. He's like, everything is, like, I've had 14 surgeries. Some of them have been dental because of my addiction. Like, so he still kind of slurs his words. His health is much better, but it's like all the physical implications and the ramifications of his addiction. Like, you can see, and he tells you, like, I look like this, I talk like this because of my addiction. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like, you know, a couple bad years and then he finally got sober. It was like 8 bad years and then like 2 years sobriety, 2 years off, 1 year on, 1 year off. It's been nonstop. And I think a couple of years ago, he got to a place where like he thinks he might, you know, have been able to beat it for good. And that's why he's now telling his story. And the takeaway that I had, like, he's not a thirsty person. He's enormously wealthy. He doesn't need to write a book. He doesn't need to do Diane Sawyer. I think he's so passionate about helping people. Like, it's so, I think he, like longs for, I think he hoped that when he was younger, someone like him would have been out there because used to talk about it in the early 2000s, talk about addiction. So he's so passionate about helping people. And that's why, I don't know if you've seen, there's like a, he like digs at Keanu Reeves in his book.
Yes.
And then he like apologized for it. And I read something, I think it was on Dumois that was like really poignant. And it's just like Matthew Perry hates Keanu Reeves because Keanu Reeves, I think, did a movie with River Phoenix, Joaquin Phoenix's brother, who passed away of an overdose, and is like holds resentment to Keanu for not like looking out for River Phoenix or like doing more to help him. Cause like that's where Matthew Perry is now. He's like obsessed with helping people. Like,
is Keanu Reeves, he had been an addict?
I don't know. I don't know enough, but like either he was there while River Phoenix was struggling or has struggled himself. I'm not sure of the entire background. So like it's not just about like, you know, actor beef, because I don't think, well, the vibe that I got from Matthew Perry after the interview was like, he's like not caught up. He doesn't, like he doesn't care about any of this stuff. Like he literally was put on life support. He was in a coma for 14 days. He had a 2% chance of living. He was put on like on a respirator with five other people and that night and every other person died except for him. Like he's not supposed to be here. And like, that's literally all he cares about now. Like yeah. It's all he cares about. He's such a pijam. And another takeaway that I got from the interview is like, he's literally in love with Jennifer Aniston. He talked about her 1,000 times, Jenny. And it's like widely known. And he talked about when he first started working on Friends, he had like a huge crush on her and asked her out. She said no. And she was like, of all the people, like everyone, the friends like were really involved and wanted to help him. But like she checked in on him the most and like they have like a special connection. It was like really cute. Like I ship them hard, but it's so sad. Like his addiction took so much from him. Like he never got married. He never had kids. Like he's 55. He looks much older and he's like just now starting. Like he wants to get married. He wants to like catch up now. And honestly, like he needs to marry Jennifer Aniston. He needs to marry Jennifer Aniston. Like, I think that's how the story ends.
Well, his book comes out this week. I know. Stated that you will definitely be reading it.
Well, I sat down to read it over the weekend. There's been so much hoopla, fanfare, and my Kindle like wasn't working and it was just like pissing me off. And then I realized my Kindle's working fine. The book isn't out yet. So that's that on that. I feel like after watching Diane Sawyer and all the press, I feel like I know every, it's only 250 pages. Like, I feel like I know everything.
I feel like you probably don't though. Yeah. Because I don't think that he would give it all up, you know, and also there, even though he seems to be like incredibly authentic, he's not going to like clickbait, click here, yeah. read the book, but there are probably PR people in the room who do need to sell yeah. a book. Yeah. And so they'll make sure that he's not saying anything to Diane that gives too much away.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Diane did a good job. I feel like, you know, there's a lot of interviews that Diane has done like over her long career that like have come back to
didn't age well.
Age poorly. And I think now whenever she does an interview, she's like very, conscious of that. And she did a very good job. Like, I think he felt comfortable. He's like, he was just, it was really upsetting.
What has aged poorly?
Stuff she says to like Lindsay Lohan, like a lot of shit that.
Like when we watch like Britney Spears type stuff.
Right. Britney Spears. That's the one.
Oh, okay.
And that happens with everyone, like David Letterman being disgusting to everyone. So Diane Sawyer's not unique in that, but I think, you know, she's being very conscious of her legacy here on out.
Understood.
Because
well,
shit lives forever.
He shared on the program that if he says, I'm just going to chill at home alone tonight, if he ever says I'm cured, that would reveal that he has relapsed.
Yeah.
He said he talks about his struggle with addiction, of course, and told the journalist that he did all sorts of things to satiate his addiction over the years, including perusing people's medicine cabinets
at open houses.
During open houses to acquire Vicodin to maintain his 55 pill per day habit. And he said, I think they thought, well, there's no way that Chandler came in right. and stole from us.
Yeah, no, it was when he was talking about like the height of his addiction, taking 55 Vicodin a day. It was so crazy. And he did. And I feel like I've said this a lot about his weight on the show. He talks about that because he really struggled with alcohol too. And he's like, when I'm fat, it's the alcohol. When I'm skinny, it's the pills. So like, that's why there's such stark changes. And then towards the end of the show, like when he gets married to Monica, like the last maybe season and a half, two seasons, he is living in a treatment facility and he's being driven to work in like a treatment facility van every day. And that's why towards the end, I never even realized that he looks so healthy. And that's not like the beginning of his sobriety forever, because he relapses right. many, many times and then he ends up in the hospital. His digestive system completely shuts down and that's what puts him in a coma for 14 days. But you really can track everything on Friends. And he doesn't watch the show. He's like really never seen it. And so Diane had him watch a couple moments, some of the moments from when he is clearly struggling and some of the moments from when he's clearly healthy. And he's like so upset like by the footage of him like not looking well. And then when he sees the scene where he marries Monica, where he's literally living in like a sober living facility, he's like so happy. He's such a pijam. Like he's so cute and sweet. And honestly, we have to protect Matthew Perry at all costs. That was my takeaway.
As a Friends fanatic, what was your thoughts on Matthew Perry / Chandler before all of this?
Nothing. And that's what Diane Sawyer says. She's like, you would never know. Like every joke, you're brilliant. Like every joke lands, you don't
look. Was he one of your favorites? One of your least favorites?
Not one of my favorites. Not one of my least favorites. Like very mid. Mm. Probably spot, you know, 3 or 4.
Out of 7.
6.
6?
Yeah. If I had to go in order, it would be Phoebe and then it would be Ross.
Oh, it used to be Ross first.
Was it? Maybe it would be Ross actually. Ross and Phoebe interchanged 1 and 2. Then it would be Chandler and then it would be Monica and then it would be Joey and then it would be fucking Rachel.
Wow. It used to be... Who was last? Monica. Used to hate, not like, I don't know if she was last. The older I get, this, but used to hate Monica.
The older I get, the more I understand Monica.
And they used to tell me I'm a Monica.
No, the older I get, the more I understand Monica. And the more like Rachel is just like a fucking pick me girl who like expects everything to, she's so spoiled. Like everything just like happens for her. That's not how it works in the real world. Like Monica was chubby in her youth. Like she has grit, you know,
she's been through stuff.
Tenacity. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the beauty of the show. It's like you really can relate to different people throughout.
At different times in your life.
And that's what Sawyer, Diane was saying. She was like, you know, what's so crazy is during COVID, like the show had a renaissance. 97 billion minutes were consumed of Friends in 2022.
That's amazing. I just want to say this new metric of-
I know. Of it's counting, a Netflix thing.
Of counting minutes. Streaming time in minutes. Like, isn't working for me.
Yeah, tell me nobody watches your show without telling me nobody watches your show.
Yeah, like that's how Netflix, they do their ratings now, like how TV ratings are like 0.14 of this
demographic. But just tell me how many people two did.
Just how many people like, I would even do started the show. And then also just let us know how many people started the show, how many people finished the show.
Yeah, no, like how many people watch a show, ? Like, yeah. That's
it's
all we
like,
know.
It's not that hard. Like we do a YouTube video and they're able to count views. They don't do minutes streamed, even though some people don't finish it. Like
100%.
I'm rejecting this metric.
I reject the metric along with you.
I have no idea what it means that 97 million minutes were streamed.
Yeah, no, billion.
Billion.
Yeah, no, that's a good call. Same thing. That's a good call.
Because, okay, how many minutes is the entire show? So divide 97 billion, divide by that. That's how many people watch it in its entirety. But like, you do the math for me.
No, and then some people watch it like multiple times. So it's like, I could have been responsible for a billion of those, you know?
Right. It's not working.
It's not working.
And so, as we get further into the streaming age, like that's going to have to be corrected immediately.
The interview was on Hulu, speaking of streaming, so you can still watch it. That's where I watched it last night. I'm totally going to read his book. And he's really like, we must, as a society, like we must protect him.
Okay.
At all costs. He was so cute.
Well, thank you for watching and updating us.
It was so good. Like I loved it. I wanted it to be longer and I wanted to see more of his house. Like, and also like I wanted, like obviously like I wanted to talk to him about addiction, but I also just like his career is like insane. He like decided to be an actor. He was always like funny guy. Oh, also what was crazy is like he's been like an alcoholic since he was 14, since the first drink he ever had. Like,
wow.
And he grew up like his mom was press secretary for Trudeau's dad, who was also Trudeau prime minister. His dad was like a big actor on sitcoms. He was like this golden child. So it's not like, you know, addiction is like you come from a dark past. It's like it can happen to anyone. He literally had like a charmed life in Canada, moved to America, like auditioned and just, you know, got a role on the biggest show ever.
Yeah.
Oh, what I found to be most interesting that Chandler, he's so funny, Matthew Perry. So, I mean, we weren't really alive like when Friends was airing. Like we weren't conscious of what was going on in the world. So apparently when the first season aired, like David Schwimmer was like the it boy. Like he was the first one who got a role in a movie and he was like the biggest star of all the stars. And after the first season, everyone's contract was up for renegotiation and David Schwimmer was like, we should do it as a team. And Matthew Perry literally says to Diane Sawyer interview, he's like, fine, idiot. Like I'll, sure.
Take
like
you're having.
Right. And that's really why they were so successful was because they all got paid the same. It was an ensemble show. No one was, you know, more of a star than the next. And even though David Schwimmer in the beginning, like I guess was the most famous one, it constantly shifted. Like
right.
Then Matthew Perry was on the number one show and had the number one movie, which is something only him and someone else have done. I forget who, but he was like had the number one movie in theaters and the number one TV show on TV. No, Matthew Perry.
Oh, someone else. In the world has done.
In the world has done, yeah. Oh. So it was like, it was really impressive and it was constantly shifting, but the fact that they always maintained that they were equals is why, one, they ended up becoming the highest paid actors on television, and two, why they were so successful.
100%.
It was really smart and it all started with David Schwimmer. So I feel like David Schwimmer gets like a rep now for being like kind of like a dick, but it was him who decided that they all should stay a team.
Amongst other things, that's probably the biggest factor in why the show mm-hmm. was so successful because we see all the time
When people
get success so quickly, like then they start to resent the show. We saw that with Jeanette McCurdy.
Right. Right. Not getting paid.
The same amount.
But also the difference with that and what's
iCarly.
Right. It's not an ensemble show.
Right.
But this was an ensemble show. And yes, like when it first launched, some people were more well received, but they didn't let that change the dynamics. And then it constantly shifted. Jennifer Aniston became, you know, yeah. like everyone had their own moments.
Yeah. Wow.
It was really interesting. If you like Friends, like I recommend it. And if you're like if you're curious about like addiction,
yeah,
he speaks about it very poignantly. Like you don't have a choice. So like when he was like, I was in a rehab facility, I was leaving after like 90 days after I think he's been in rehab like six times, maybe more. he was like, his therapist was like, don't forget, like, this isn't your fault. And he was like, what? He's like, what do you mean? Like, I have free will. He's like, no, you actually don't, like, in a scenario like this. And he was just really well-spoken about it, and I loved it. Loved, loved.
Great. Are you ready for our next story?
If it's the next story that's sponsored by Modern Fertility.
Yes.
We've always been big fans of planning ahead, scheduling trips months in advance, plotting out our next career moves, figuring out what we're doing for dinner while we still eat breakfast. But if you've never thought much about planning for kids, Modern Fertility might be the product for you. So Modern Fertility was created. It's an easy and affordable way to test your fertility hormones at home with a simple finger prick. You can mail it in with a prepaid label and you will get personalized results within 6 business days. Here are some of the insights that you'll get. You'll get insights into your hormone levels, like your ovarian reserve, which is basically if you have more or fewer eggs than the average woman your age. They also have other important factors that can impact your fertility. The results are going to go deep into what every hormone means, and you can also download the results to review with your doctor for next steps. Traditional hormone testing at a fertility clinic can cost over $600, but Modern Fertility tests the same general set of hormones at a fraction of the price. And if you go to modernfertility.com/toast30, you can get $30 off your test. Plus, you can get reimbursed for the test through your FSA or HSA. If you want kids today or maybe one day in the future, clinically sound information about your body can help make the decision that's right for you. Right now, Modern Fertility is offering our listeners $30 off the test when you go to modernfertility.com/toast30. That's a limited time offer of $30 off, which means your test will come at just $149, which is kind of crazy because hormone testing at a fertility clinic can cost more than 3 times as much. Get $30 off your fertility test when you go to modernfertility.com/toast30. modernfertility.com/TOAST30. Toast 30 is that link again, modernfertility.com/toast30.
Greatness. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Viserys.
Our next story, I forgot we're in these.
Me too. I can't forget, my wig is so motherfucking itchy.
And my crown is slipping.
Oh, maybe it's
heavy
a sign.
As the head.
Maybe it's a sign that you're really not prepared for it. Give it to me. Give me the crown.
Okay, let's see how it looks on you.
My widow's peak is going to look stunning. Ew, Viserys.
It's like my fucking crown.
It literally feels right.
It looks nice. Looks good on you.
The people of Westeros
deserve
this.
You'll wear one as prince with Rhaenyra as queen. You'll look good.
The people of Westeros, they deserve this.
You'll look good.
To all my subjects, I love you dearly, especially the City Watch. Oh, this is like a crazy ass crown.
Yeah, it really is. This Heavy crown is has a head. Mind of its own. Okay, our next story. Some lovely wedding news. We had 2 bachelor people get married this weekend. One is a entirely bachelor couple. Astrid Locke and Kevin Wendt got married 1 year after welcoming their son. They fell in love on Bachelor in Paradise and had a baby last year. Now they got married. It was a bachelor-studded affair with Rachel Lindsay, Blake Hortzman, Alexis Waters, Christina Shulman, and Whitney Franzway.
Oh, I haven't heard so many of those names in so long. Like,
and Blake
Christina.
Was with Giannina.
Oh, Blake and Giannina are still together?
Still together. And cool. For Halloween, they dressed as each other on each other's shows. So she was Blake sweating and crying when Becca broke up with him. And he was her running in that wedding dress. He wore the actual wedding dress from the show.
It's like so thirsty. I can't. Like, I really can't talk about it. Let's talk about Kevin and Astrid. I think they're such a great couple. And I'm like so glad that they withstood the test of time. I don't think about them often. But every time I do, I just check in. I'm like, are they still together? I don't keep up with Bachelor anymore. Like, I don't really care. But like these two that came out of it, like, I love it. I love it.
I love it so much. And it really goes to show, I feel like so many people on The Bachelor, like, they don't get together. They don't stay together because, like, we live so far apart. Our lives are so different. And I think
He
lived in another country.
She lived in Tampa.
They're making it work.
They're making it work. Yeah. What's your excuse, you know?
Literally, what's your excuse?
No, they're so cute. I love them. I think that was a great season of Bachelor in Paradise.
It was. But the only thing that's a shame is that they ended the season, like, Astrid and Kevin weren't together because they thought that they couldn't make it work. Like, they broke up, like, really randomly.
So we didn't see their engagement.
No, and then they got back together in real life, like, a few weeks later. And so it's, like, just not a perfect season because they don't ride off into the sunset together.
You think someone's cooking some chicken? It smells good.
It's possible.
Or is this a phantom smell because I'm hungry?
No, I definitely smell something.
I know someone's cooking up my chicken from last night, and if they eat my chicken, I'll be so mad because, like, that's what I wanted for lunch, schnitzel. I'm going to take this fucking sword.
We have extra schnitzel, though.
I know, but like the one from last night was really good.
It's probably not your schnitzel, but but it could be.
It smells really good.
It does smell good.
I'm pissed.
Oh no, it actually smells like there's veggies being cooked.
Oh, then it's definitely not mine.
And also another bachelor wedding was this weekend. So if you weren't at one, you were hopefully at the other. Maddie Pruitt yes. got married in Dallas.
Shout out Adam Gottschalk for the premium content. I follow
Adam
him on Instagram.
And Raven, I felt like I was there. Then also Hannah Ann was there. Kelly Flanagan, Victoria Fuller.
Kelly Flanagan is dating Pilot Pete, although maybe she wasn't given a plus one, or maybe Maddie didn't want her ex-boyfriend at her wedding.
Maybe both.
Yeah.
Because they're only dating, no ring, no bring.
So Maddie and this guy have been together. I think they were dating for 3 months before they got engaged. Or they were dating, sorry. They were engaged for 3 months. Yes, that's it.
Okay.
They've only been engaged for 3 months. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that they're deeply religious and they did not consummate until after the wedding. So, you know, girl's got to do what she's got to do. She looked beautiful. People have really started to fucking hate Maddie Pruitt because she's like, on TikTok at least, she went viral.
I feel like she's always viral.
No, but so she became.
She's like a motivational speaker.
She's a pastor, like a youth leader. She's like a youth leader. Youth group.
She's not a pastor, but she speaks. She has, I don't know sermons. What the word is. She doesn't do sermons, but she.
But she gets on stage and preaches.
Yes, yes.
At like these big churches that have like videos, and she wears like a little TED Talk microphone.
It's at a church or like a convention?
I think it's a church. I think it's like a mega church.
Okay.
So this this sermon she gave like went viral because she said Jesus is the only one who can satisfy, and then like everyone was like, oh, I can satisfy this, you know. And she's just like really religious, and so I feel like just people like hate religious people. So I kind of feel bad for her because she's a nice girl. Her engagement and her whole thing is like definitely, you know, fast, but they seem to be in love and they had a stunning wedding.
Stunning.
Like she trimmed her hair.
I think it's all so nice. Like, first of all, she was always that religious on the show. Yes. Like, people didn't, like, Peter wanted to pretend like he could change her. And, like, she literally had to leave him because he wasn't, like, the man of faith that she was mm-hmm. looking for.
She's very principled.
And she's so principled. I feel like she found the right person for her. And she's like, why wait? Like,
yeah.
Let's get married.
No, totally.
And who said you have to wait to be engaged for a year? Like, people used to, like, literally meet and get married within 6 months.
Yeah.
So.
No, I think she's sweet. Like, it's obviously not how I would do it, but that's because I'm not Maddie and I'm not Catholic.
Yeah, but like you got married young too.
I did. Well, I don't think they're young. How old are they?
I think she is young. She's 26 now, but like she was like 23 on her season.
I mean, it's not that young to get married, especially if you're a virgin.
I got married at 26.
I got married at 17. especially if you're a virgin. Like,
yeah.
All the power to you. Like, I hope they stay together just to prove everyone wrong. Like, everyone's just so negative.
Because
he's like a little cringe. He's like, hey, girl. Like, his like,
okay.
His intonations and like, he's like a little weird, but.
I'm not in it enough to have seen negativity. I don't think I follow
her. Oh, all I see
her,
is negativity.
So I only see like when they got engaged and the highlights. And obviously I'm not on TikTok. And sometimes I have seen her reels of her speaking engagements.
Yeah.
But I don't like read the comments, so I don't know.
No, what, no. What like they went viral on TikTok.
But she's also like so viral in the other, like it swings both ways. Mm-hmm. Like she's has so many followers from the show.
Yeah.
She's a big influencer.
No, and she did a good job transitioning. She's very niche. Like she's very Southern. She's very religious. Like, and she thrives in that digital community.
Right. I think so, she's like living her best life. And maybe that's not for
everyone
you out there, but she seems really happy.
Yeah, no, and she looked beautiful. The wedding was beautiful. It was at his family's house. It was a beautiful house, beautiful wedding.
Oh, gorgeous.
Yeah, really gorgeous.
Really, really gorgeous.
He's an heir.
An heir, not the spare?
No, he's an heir to a $1 billion fortune. Huh. Yeah, I'm not sure what from, but gotta look into it.
Very nice.
So for that, love that for her.
Yeah.
Get a girl.
Our next story.
It's not the fifth and final, is it?
No, we have two more stories, both little tech news.
Okay.
First of all, Instagram is down right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, what the fuck?
And users are reporting their accounts are being suspended and people are losing followers amid the mystery outage.
But so I don't even.
You might be losing followers from people's accounts being suspended.
Right. So like I wanted to see if I lost followers, but like honestly, I don't even want to go look because apparently if you open Instagram and you close it, your account will get suspended. So like I'm not even opening the app.
Oh, well, I opened it, but then I heard about this, so I closed it.
Yeah, yeah. No, and I haven't opened it since. But I want to see if I'm losing followers or anything.
Interesting.
Instagram is like constantly fucking up and they really need to get their fucking shit together. Like,
yeah, and they're like so.
You want to be the number one platform, Meta? You want to be it all? Well, that comes with responsibility.
They also love to gaslight because people are reporting this and like enough for it to be, like we heard about it this morning. Mm-hmm. It's already like a news story.
An issue.
Instagram tweets, we're aware that some of you are having issues accessing your Instagram account. We're looking into it and apologize for the inconvenience.
Gaslighter.
Yeah, like not just like, hey, shit's crazy over here.
We're working on it.
Just like stay tuned.
Yeah. No, that's so true. Like the way in which they like minimize it in their statement. Yeah, totally.
But it's like, we all know.
Yeah, no, it's really fucking annoying. Like my, like this is how most people, whatever business you're in, like a lot of people's businesses rely on Instagram and they're like always fucking up.
Yeah, but it's also crazy when Instagram goes down and like people realize like what a reliance they have on it. Yeah. Aside from like if it's your business, but and people like getting so pressed that they're losing followers, it's like also maybe we should touch
grass. Get some perspective.
Touch grass, as Claudia would say.
No, for sure. But like it is a weekday. Like this is people's livelihood. Like get it together.
Maybe it's a spooky outage for Halloween.
Perhaps, brother.
Is that how you feel when Instagram goes down, like for you?
Yeah, no, it's like we literally run a business and Instagram is a huge part of that. Like, fuck off.
Yeah.
It's annoying.
But at least we could still podcast.
Right.
So if you guys don't hear from us on Instagram today, we're over here podcasting.
Yeah, totally.
Totally. Our fifth and final story is some hilarious news.
That's brought to you by Liquid IV.
Oh yeah, Liquid IV loves comedy.
Cooler weather makes it easy to miss signs of dehydration like overheating or perspiration, which means it's even more important to keep your body hydrated. Liquid IV fuels your well-being with easy ways to stay hydrated. In just one stick, you're getting 5 essential vitamins and hydrating 2 times faster than you would with water alone. So Liquid IV is a fabulous product. It is, if you have a hard time drinking water, whether it's hot, cold, like you just forget and just don't like the taste, hello, that's me. Liquid IV is fabulous because you put a stick in a bottle of water and it makes the bottle of water 2 to 3 times more hydrating. So you're just like being more efficient and it changes the flavor because I think water tastes disgusting, but Liquid IV comes in so many different flavors and you'll find one that you really, really like. And then it's like you're drinking something more fun, you know, like a delicious juice, not a disgusting water.
Juice.
So one stick of Liquid IV into 16 ounces of water will hydrate you 2 times faster and more efficiently than water alone. And that little stick contains 5 essential vitamins, B3, B5, B6, B12, and vitamin C. It has 3 times the electrolytes of a traditional sports drink, which means it's a great thing to drink, yes, when you're dehydrated, also when you're hungover. It's truly miraculous. Right before bed, there's nothing like it. It's also made with premium ingredients. It's non-GMO and it's free from gluten. It's free from dairy. It is free from soy. They're also on a mission to change the world. To date, Liquid IV has donated over 25 million servings in over 50 countries around the world, which is fabulous because you can spend money on Liquid IV knowing that that money is going to help really important causes. Grab your Liquid IV in bulk nationwide at Costco or get 15% off when you go to liquidiv.com/toast. That's 15% off anything you order on their site when you shop Better Hydration today at Liquid IV, liquidiv.com/toast, T-O-A-S-T, liquidiv.com/toast.
Thank you so much. I love being hydrated. Me too. That way I don't have to say Juliana, I drink a lot of water.
Juliana.
I drink a lot of Liquid IV.
Can you lick my Johnson?
I would love to lick your Johnson. Our fifth and final story is literally the funniest news I've ever seen.
It is hilarious.
Pranksters posing as laid off Twitter employees trick media outlets. So a pair of pranksters posing as laid off Twitter employees tricked multiple media outlets on Friday as the public anxiously awaited news on whether Elon Musk had begun axing staffers. So CNBC's Deirdre Bosa interviewed two
people. This is so embarrassing for Deirdre because she's really like the one who's getting dragged.
Yeah. Interviewed two people who identified themselves as Twitter employees and were seen near the company's San Francisco headquarters carrying cardboard boxes.
So these guys.
The two men said they were named Raul Ligma and Daniel Johnson. So we have Ligma Johnson, who's laid off. They're walking outside of Twitter headquarters just carrying.
And they're dressed like classic Silicon Valley engineers. Like everything they're wearing is Patagonia.
Like the backpack.
It's so funny. And so like, I guess nobody thought to like check if they were real employees. They just like took advantage of the fact that like the media was waiting outside Twitter headquarters like sharks, like eating up whatever was gonna happen. So they stood out there with cardboard boxes and was like, yeah, I got laid off. I've been a software engineer here for 6 years. Like they were just making shit up. They were like, I'm really worried about how I'm gonna, you know, make my car payments. I actually have a Tesla. I love Elon. It was so funny. They were just like trolling the media and like the way that like, it's actually crazy how like, you would be a reporter and not even verify that these people worked
right
at Twitter.
Right.
It's like at the end of the day, it's like a funny thing, but also it's like a statement on like how embarrassing it is to be a journalist.
Right.
Like,
it reminds me of the Manti Te'o documentary where those guys who unearthed that the girlfriend was fake were trying to like make a statement about media, how like they could just keep saying the same story over and over again without even looking into it one iota. It obviously turned into something other than that, but it's so true.
Yeah, no, it's like, it's really embarrassing for everyone who was like caught, you know, the TV cameras doing interviews with these guys. The guy, and they don't even realize they're being trolled. The guy's like, all right, I really gotta go. I gotta talk to my husband and wife about this. Like, husband and wife. Like, nobody even blinks. And they weren't, the funny thing is, like, the concept of what they did was really funny. I didn't think in the interviews they were being that funny.
No, they weren't being, like, crazy pranksters. It was like, this was just the prank and really nothing more.
Elon tweeted about it. He thought it was funny.
He thought it was funny. He said that Ligma Johnson had it coming.
He had it coming.
With an eggplant emoji and a spritz.
Water.
Water. Anyways, the CNBC reporter tweeted, it's happening. Entire team of data engineers let go. These are two of them. She said they are visibly shaken. Daniel tells us. Daniel tells us he owns a Tesla and doesn't know how he's going to make payments on his Tesla.
No, the visibly shaken is so embarrassing for Deirdre.
So embarrassing. But then I went to Deirdre's profile because I was like, has she corrected right. this? Because the tweet is still up. And this is what she quote tweeted herself and said, earlier today, we reported on CNBC that a team of data engineers was let go at Twitter based on the account of two people who told us they were part of that team. We have not been able to confirm that they were actual employees or that the CEO has laid anyone off today.
Oh my God. Not her, like, literally not correcting it.
Literally.
We were unable to confirm. Well, you never tried.
Right. And she said, a confusion reigns outside Twitter HQ. Are people being let go? Are they trolling the media? No, the questions have been answered. They are trolling the media.
No, that's so crazy to, like, get trolled. It's, like, so embarrassing. But then to not own it, like...
Or, like, delete the tweet. Like, this is misinformation.
No, you honestly...
They were not...
If you're spreading misinformation, like, you can't delete it as a reporter. You have to, like, follow up with a correction. You can't just remove it, the article, you know?
Right.
No, it's, like, the lack of journalistic integrity in this country, it's giving muckraker.
It's giving muckraker.
It's giving, like, yellow journalism.
Knows, like, and these guys are, like, on Twitter now, you know, like, laughing about it. So it's, like, confirmed been a
it's
prank.
It's a confirmed prank. Daily Mail got pranked hard because they were like, Ligma left, Johnson right, are two software engineers. It's so fucking funny.
It's
like,
so funny.
And it's literally, like, a perfect prank. Because these guys, like, I don't think they wanted to be famous. Like, they just thought it was funny. Like, they didn't really have, like, an agenda or anything. They just wanted to be funny.
Yeah, and they succeeded.
It's funny. And it's a good prank.
It really is. So that's what you needed to know.
Those were the Fast Five stories.
Just a reminder to Ligma Johnson.
That's kind of, like, my key takeaway always. Like, constantly be Ligma and Johnsons, you know?
Yeah, Ligma Johnson.
Yeah, today, that's what I say to your daughter. I say, hey, Rainier, get over here. Ligma Johnson.
No. No. That's not going to work for me.
Yeah, Rainier, Ligget.
Ligget good.
Ligget good. So this has been Toast to Ween 2022. It's been an honor having King Viserys, the useless, on my podcast today, the number one podcast in all of Westeros. To my millions of fans, thank you. Actually, before we go, Viserys, I had our listeners submit questions for you. Are you open to doing some sort of spirited town hall debate?
Of course, brother. I'm an open book.
All right, let me grab the questions. This one comes from Daniel Johnson. Viserys, you suck, Ligma Johnson.
Well, Daniel, I would say bring your Johnson to me and we shall see.
This next one is coming from a Raul Ligma. It says, Viserys, you suck, Ligma Johnson.
Raul, another Johnson I'd love to lig.
And this tweet is from a Deirdre. She says, Viserys, what do you plan to do about all the employees being fired from Twitter?
I would say, Deirdre.
Deirdre, darling, Deirdre.
Dear Deirdre, do your job.
Deirdre.
Deirdre. Do your job, Deirdre.
Oh my God, you, my favorite day of the year, like, to be with you is Toast to Ween. You're so really, like, not okay.
No, for sure, but, like, Viserys is really, like, a peaceful energy.
Yeah.
And it's been hard for me to, like,
be combative.
I have to, no, and, like, I need to, I'm never the combative one. Like, was Ryan combative? Watch the clips, roll the tape.
Ryan was extremely combative in his ineptitude, you know?
No, like, for Viserys, like, I had to really tamp down some of, like, my inner
Brubba energy
because I'm Viserys the peaceful.
You've been extremely peaceful.
And I just want peace, but I don't know how to achieve it.
And I just want your daughter to Ligma Johnson.
You've been extremely not peaceful.
No, I've been extremely disgusting, but that's called playing a character, Jackie. Like, it's character acting. You should know. Like, you're a character actor.
That's for sure.
So I got to go home so I can rail your daughter.
I don't know if she's speaking to you right now. We all saw the joke.
No, she understood. That's something we do all the time. It wasn't
you're
like
just
a
playing.
Yeah, we're just playing. Like, I stab her, she stabs me. We have a lot of fun.
Sounds like a great time.
It is. You should come to Dragonstone one time, brother. I'll show you how it's done. I'll let you lick my Johnson. Toastoween 2022, you guys. Hope you enjoyed. Thank you so much. I cannot wait to do the toast tomorrow. I'm not in a wig. I've never been so motherfucking itchy in my whole life. Thank you so much for listening to the Toast, the number one morning show in Westeros, where we discuss, well, no, where we deliver the Fast Five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places wherever you listen to podcasts. Find us, The Toast. Leave a 5-star review about how wickedly talented we are. Hope you guys have an amazing Monday. Happy Halloween. We'll see you tomorrow.
Happy Halloween, everyone. Trick or treat. Woo!
Ligma Johnson.
And don't forget to Ligma Johnson.